I'm excited about. I have to tell you. Now I know, you know, Pastor, you're supposed to be excited about every week, aren't you? I know that. I know that. But I tell you how regular weeks come by. It's amazing. It's really amazing. But this week, God has spoken. He's pressed upon my heart this message about calling on the name of the Lord. And I believe that it's something that many of us in here need to hear. Many of us need this message this morning. We've all been given names. And names do have meanings. I don't know if you know what the meaning of your name is. You know, what's the meaning of Din? I don't know. A lot of you have names, Pikshan, Yingji. I don't know these meanings. When we name Gretchen, we like the name Gretchen, but it also had a nice name that meant something special to us, and that was Little Pearl. She was our Little Pearl. My wife Jennifer has a fitting name. I think it means grace or gracious or grace-filled. I thought, yeah, that fits. My name Ken, it means handsome, and I thought, yeah, that fits. And do I hear objections out there? But we've all heard our name called many a times. People call out to us. I remember before me and Jen got married, we were on the campus of our school, and I had said goodbye to her, and I'm walking away, and I must be 100 meters or further down across campus. There's people all over the place. And I don't know if you ever heard my wife wolf whistle, but she can stick her fingers in her mouth and she can let out this loudest whistle you ever heard. And she lets out one. You know what a wolf whistle is? I can't do it. I wish I could, but you know, that whistle. And so she let out this extremely loud one that made everybody look, and they looked at her and they looked at me, and I'm just like wanting to hide my face. I don't know this woman. She knew how to call, and she does that with our kids today. If they're far away out playing, time to come home for dinner, man, they know the whistle of Mom. And it is a powerful whistle. And the neighborhood hears it. And so we have to move houses from time to time. But today I want to bring our focus on calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on His name. I want to take you back this morning to a time in history, one of the most important times in history, far more important than discovering the wheel, far more important than discovering fire or discovering atomic energy, an important time in human history that changed some direction, that changed the direction. That day has an everlasting effect on our planet. Not only that, but on the world to come. In Genesis chapter 4, verse number 25. You guys know Adam and Eve, yeah? They had two sons, and their names were Cain and Abel. One of them was a rat bag and killed the other one. Which one was that? Which one? Cain. Cain decided he didn't like his brother. Tragic day. They were out in the fields. He got up, took a big rock when he wasn't looking, and bashed him on the back of the head. Said, enough of this. Of course, Mom and Dad wouldn't have been too happy. But more kids came along. Verse 25 of Genesis 4. Adam lay with his wife again. And she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. She rejoiced in this new child that God gave. She had been deeply hurt through the loss of her son Abel. Seth also had a son. His name, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. God, I want you to direct our thoughts now. I want you to find our hearts, Lord, open to you. Lord, I pray that you would soften any hard heart in here today. Lord, speak to us. We need to hear this message. We need this message. We need to hear from You today. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would have complete freedom to penetrate the hardest of hearts. And that, Lord, today, people would call on the name of the Lord. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen. We just read of another son, Seth, being born after the incident with Cain and Abel. Cain and his seed were a people that were self-dependent. They were independent of God. And this seed was about to dominate the world. It was about to be the most prevailing group in the world. But there was another seed that was being raised up. There was a godly seed that was being awakened and raised up. There was a revelation of some type that happened. Now, you got to remember, at this time, there were no churches. There wasn't a local church down the road where Seth and Enosh went to, and that's where they worshipped, and that's where they served. There was no churches. There was no Bible written. There were no seminars. There were no tapes, no DVDs to listen to, no daily radio station. They didn't have any of this, but something happened. Some kind of a revelation happened where a people learned that this Creator God that had made everything, and they were not that far removed from this. They were not so far removed, and they had heard this from mom and dad and granddad, Adam and Eve. They realized this revelation from God came that this God who created everything is also a God that you could upon. And not only that, but when you call upon Him, He hears you. He hears, He understands, and He answers. So there was this new revelation. It says simply here that at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And this affected history. This affected history. This theme goes throughout the entire Bible of people who call upon the name of the Lord. And I want you to understand this word here, call. This word call. You look up this word, it's not just saying, Lord! Or wolf whistling like my wife does to me. It's more than that. This word call means to cry out to. It means to beseech, to plead, to beg. But then it also goes on from there and it means to worship. To worship, to extol, to exalt, to honor, and to celebrate. All these things. So you call out on the name of the Lord and you also begin to worship Him and extol Him, for He hears and He answers. But this same word call also implies in it to spread it and to tell it to someone else. And so it says at this time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. It involves all these things. And I don't know exactly how they found out this, but God let them know that He's a God that could be called upon. And He's a God who hears. There were issues that they had at that time that we don't have. You know, their crops needed some water and they realized that they could call upon God. He cares for them. He heals them. He takes care of them. He understands. He loves them. And He answers prayers. And they could call upon Him. That's why God made us. The first people who ever belonged to God were not called Jews. They were not called Christians. They were called people who called on the name of the Lord. People who called upon Him. Everything began then. Everything began then. The same ones that cried out to Him. They began to praise and honor Him. They would go to other people then. And they would say, have you heard about this God? Have you heard about this Creator that we have? That you can call to Him and He hears you and He answers to you. And God is still calling today and He's saying to us, call upon Me and I will answer you and I will do great and mighty things for you. This is how religion began. This is how it began. Isaac built an altar to call on the name of God. We see it in Jacob's life. We see it in Moses' life. Even long before the tabernacle, the formal institutionalized tabernacle and order of worship, he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham. There was a time when Abraham did not do so wisely. Abraham went to Egypt unwisely. Abraham forsook the trust of his wife unwisely. He messed up. You know the story. I don't want to go into great detail, but he went and out of fear told Pharaoh that his wife was his sister. This isn't really my wife, it's just my sister. So please don't kill me for her. That was his thinking. If I tell him that, I'll be safe. Well, big trouble came. Big trouble came. And the king, Pharaoh, he knew this wasn't right. And so Abraham went back. He was sent away. And it says in the Bible, in Genesis 13, verse 3, that he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there, what does it say? Abram called on the name of the Lord. I think here's a principle here too. And that principle is sometimes people, sometimes you, can wander far away from God. Raise your hand if you've ever wandered away from God before. After you became a believer, you know you became a believer. You settled that. You trusted Christ. You were born again, all that. It was a wonderful thing, but something happened along the way. And usually, it's us allowing something in our life. You open a door. You allow something in, it robs you of your joy, robs you of the peace, of your purpose and direction, and you begin to blame God or you begin to blame other people for what's going on in your life. And you wander away from God. The principle here is, go back to that time when you were calling on the name of the Lord. Take a few steps back to that place. That time in your life when out of sincerity you called upon His name. You beseeched Him, you begged, you pleaded with Him. He answered, you rejoiced, you praised Him. You spread and you told the news to other people. This is a God who hears. This is a God who answers our prayer. Don't rely on other people for this. I want to tell you that. Don't rely on other people. One thing that disturbs me is mature Christians who have never yet learned to feed themselves. To feed themselves God's Word. And they rely on being spoon-fed all their life. Don't rely on the church to feed you and grow you to maturity completely. We're here to help you and assist you and teach you how to feed yourselves of the Word of God. Amen? Amen? But there comes a time when you got to say, take responsibility for that growth too. And say, I need to learn to feed myself on God's Word. I need to learn to feed my family on God's Word and build them up. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And this became an earmark of God's people. They called on His name. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, when he was getting ready to hand over the reins to Joshua, his time was about finished. He made this statement to the people and to Joshua. He said, who else has a God so near to them when they call upon Him? What other people in the world have a God so near to them and will listen to them when they call upon Him? He says, we may not have everything else that other nations around us have. We may not have the best weapons like they have. We may not have the best chariots like these other groups have, but who else in the world has a God so near to them that is waiting for us to call upon Him? Do you know that God draws near to you when you call out to Him? God draws near. So Satan's device is this. Don't call on God. Don't draw near to God. Depend on yourself. Depend on yourself. Have a new program. Have a new gimmick. Have a new computer program that will bring instant spiritual maturity to your life. Don't get me wrong, I love computers and computer programs. I got great Bible programs on computer, but Satan doesn't get nervous when we develop new programs. He gets nervous when people start to call on the name of the Lord. He gets nervous when we start to do that. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He laid out an ultimatum. He says, you are calling on the names of your gods. Go right ahead. And he said, prepare your altar, prepare your sacrifice. Go ahead and you do your prayers and you call out to him. Call out to your God all you want. And the story goes on that the people all day long, the priest of Baal, they chanted, they called out to their God, they prayed, they danced around, they cut themselves with knives. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Why? It's not a God who hears. It's not a God with ears. It's not a God who is close, a God who listens. And Elijah got up and he prayed a small prayer. He said simply, oh God, hear my prayer. Show these people that you are a God who hears when people call upon you. And light and fire came out of heaven. And it consumed that sacrifice. David was a man close to God. He was a man almost ahead of his time. A man whose heart was in the New Testament, but body was in the Old Testament. And he prayed in Psalm 4, he said, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. He says to the people around Him, and David had his times of distress, and he said, they may chase me, they may hunt me down, they may corner me, they may fight against me, but when I call out to God, you better watch out, because He's going to hear. And we have a God who hears and answers when we call out to Him. Who are the godly? That verse says, the Lord set apart the godly for Himself. Here's the definition. Those who call on the name of the Lord. Those who call on His name. The Bible also has a definition of evildoers. Look at Psalm 14. I want you to read this with me. Psalm 14. Ready? Will evildoers never learn? Okay, well, let's start over again. Are you ready? You with me now? Here we go. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord. You see that definition? Definition of evildoers, people who don't call on the Lord. They will not call on Him. They will do a lot of things. They will do a lot of things, but they will not humble themselves. They will not recognize that God is the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God and Creator God. They will not bow the knee and humble themselves and call upon the name of the Lord. How do we get salvation? Are you here this morning and you know without a doubt that you are saved? Do you know that you're saved? How do you get salvation? People do a lot of things. They go to church. They give. They learn how to sing the songs. They memorize the songs. They memorize prayers. How do we appropriate? How do we get salvation? Romans 10, verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's looking for people who will call upon Him. God's looking for this people. Goes on to say, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Let me give you now a few poor substitutes for calling on the Lord, for calling on God. A few poor substitutes. The first one is this: our talents and abilities. These are poor substitutes. These are not replacements. These are not replacements. You may be gifted. You may be gifted with many talents, and you may be able to sing like an angel. You may be able to teach, to lead. You may be able to do many things. I believe that you can even go, you can build a church. You can build a very large church in the thousands even. You can be a successful teacher and a successful businessman or whatever you put your mind to. But that's no substitute for calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So all those wonderful things and abilities that you're able to do, all the wonderful gifts and talents, and you're able to you have a smart business mind, you're able to make money, and these are not bad things. But I'm saying they're no substitutes for a person who calls on the name of the Lord. People may do many things, but there are many who just will not humble themselves to call on the name of the Lord. Talents and abilities, poor substitutes. Another poor substitute is simply attending church. A poor substitute. I want to tell you, don't think that just coming and attending church on Sunday mornings is the same thing as a person who calls on the name of the Lord. It's not the same. And if all we have is a group of people who meet one time a week, and if that's all that we have, this is not a church. That's a group of people who meet one time a week. God's people are those people. The definition is those who call upon the name of the Lord. The definition of evildoers is those who do not call upon the name of the Lord. Attending church is no substitute. In Luke 18, Jesus tells of a couple of men who enter into a temple. They were used to going to church. They were used to going into the temple. Two men. One of the men was a Pharisee. He was a very proud and very religious man. He made it a habit. He was in the temple continually. And his prayer to God went something like this: God, I thank you, Lord, for how wonderful I am. I thank you, Lord. You know, I do all the law for you. I give a tithe, one-tenth of everything that I bring in. And by the way, God, thank you that I'm not a sinner like this evil guy over here. I'm not pointing to anyone in particular. I'm sorry. I see people ducking. I thank you that I'm not a bad guy, an evil sinner like this person over here. And that other guy, the person he was pointing to, he simply, the Bible says, he beat his chest. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me. Which brother? Hello. The prayer of that guy that said, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man was calling upon the name of the Lord. The other man was not. The other man was reliant on himself, his talents, his abilities, his goodness. Number three, write this down. Bible doctrine is a poor substitute for calling on the name of the Lord. This word doctrine, what does it mean, by the way? Huh? What does it mean? It means teaching. Okay? Bible teachings. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong, because believe me, I believe Bible doctrine is extremely important. And I believe that we are living in an age where many people want to simply put aside Bible doctrine. And in some circles, the word doctrine is almost a dirty word. We can't let doctrine divide us. Well, of course we can. This is Bible teaching. These things are important. And when you have to put aside Bible doctrine for unity, then we have some form of false unity. It's not based upon anything substantial. And so Bible doctrine is extremely important. We have to know what it is that we believe, why we believe it. Why is this church a Baptist church? I believe this church is Baptist because I believe that Baptist teaching and Baptist doctrine is Bible teaching and Bible doctrine. I'm not a Baptist because I was born a Baptist and I just want to stay a Baptist for eternity. But I'm a Baptist because I believe that the doctrines that we hold to is something that the Bible teaches. And so therefore, I will be a Baptist. But the most important thing is, am I abiding by the Bible? Is my doctrine in line with what the Bible teaches us? So is Bible doctrine important? Absolutely. But I want to tell you, it's just no substitute for calling on the name of the Lord. Because I have known people, and maybe you have known people, that have their Bible doctrine perfectly in an order, and they can recite all the 20 articles of faith of their church, and they can give you scripture references and quotes right off the top of their head, but they're not calling on the name of the Lord. There's something that's missing in their life. I have seen it, and it's tragic. We must be careful that we do not trust in our understanding, in our doctrine, in our knowledge. I have known people, I'm not kidding, that know far more about the Bible and could teach you far more in the Bible than I can. But yet, their lives are not characterized by as people who call on the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us that knowledge can puff up. Knowledge puffs up. If there's an ingredient missing, love builds up, knowledge puffs up. And if you're using this as a substitute for being one who calls on the name of the Lord, it's going to puff you up. It's going to be something that puffs you up. Now finally, what is it that God uses to help us call upon His name? I believe God is calling out to us. And He says, I want IBC to be a church, a people, who is one of those groups of people, like all the way back to Enoch, who begin to call upon the name of the Lord. So what does God use to help us? Look at Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. It tells us, call upon me in the day of, what's the word? Trouble. Underline that word. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And you know what is, what's so funny about this? And it's not really that funny. But it's just so oftentimes we will not respond to God until the day of trouble. That is our human nature. We will not come to God except in a time of trouble, and then we say, oh God, help me. You wander away from God, you do your own thing, you live your own life, you're your own success, you're your own man, your own woman, until trouble comes along and we say, oh God, help me. Have you been there? Have you been there, that time of trouble? Sometimes I see people and their lives are so far away from God, and God is the last thing on their mind, and all of a sudden tragedy or trouble hits their lives, and they come and say, Pastor Ken, pray for me. And I'm like, yes, yes, trouble's finally come. Why? Because I know that this is something that God can use to bring their hearts to call upon His name. The call upon His name. Jesus said as much when He said how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What He's saying is how hard it is for someone who is a success and has no trouble in his life to call upon the name of the Lord. But those people who have needs, and even physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, and they recognize that, they call out on the name of the Lord in times of trouble, like David here. God says, if you forget to call upon me, Ken, I may send a little trouble. I may send some trouble in your life to smack you on the back of the head and remind you to call on the name of the Lord, to call on me. If you start to backslide a little, you start to get a little self-proud, thinking that you can handle it all. And then all of a sudden trouble comes and you go from I can do it to oh God help me. And I believe that this is one reason that God gives us teenagers in our lives. Amen. You begin to think that you can handle it and all of a sudden it's oh God help me. Help me. So God uses trouble. He uses trouble. And people begin to call on His name. Why do you think it is that so often throughout history we see that Christianity and Christians were persecuted? People would try to stamp it out. They would try to destroy it. They would try to burn it. They would try to gather them up and tell them, you cannot teach this anymore. You cannot preach the name of Jesus Christ anymore. You cannot gather anymore. You cannot pray to God anymore. And the more that that was done, the more that this message started to spread and flourish, and it couldn't be stamped out. Because in the time of trouble, we call out to God. He delivers us. But where Christianity is free, where we have total freedom to meet. Some of us have a hard time getting up on time for Sunday morning and we start to complain and we start to whine about things. And it's just sometimes a matter of time before a people forget to call upon the name of the Lord. Just a generation can go by before people begin to turn their backs on God. They turn their backs on Him. They have everything they need. Everything provided for them. I want to give you a biblical definition of what revival is. It's simple. A simple definition of what revival is. Psalm 80, verse number 18. It says, revive us, and we will call on Your name. When we see people begin to call once again upon the name of the Lord, begin to humble themselves and beg and plead and beseech God and begin to praise God for what He is doing and that He answers our prayers, and begin to therefore tell others, hey, did you know that there's a God who listens and He bends His ear down and He hears us and He answers our prayers? This is what the Bible says. This is revival. This is a revival. Revive us and we will call on Your name, God. You look at the great revivals in the past that we read of. And we see men and women got sick and tired of things. They got sick and tired of the status quo and whatever was happening around them and in their society at the time. And they said, enough is enough. And they began to call on the name of the Lord. They began to meet. And they began together to call on His name. God's only interested in one kind of people. And that is those people who call on His name. I find it interesting to remember the church wasn't really born and birthed in a preaching service. It wasn't born in a teaching class. It wasn't born in a seminar. It was birthed in a prayer meeting in an upper room together. A group of people whose hearts were totally committed and dedicated to God, calling on the name of the Lord together. God sent His power, and the church began with a fire. It was revived and people began to call on the name of the Lord all around them. And they began to share. The church says the Lord added to them daily. The people in the church began to share and said, hey, did you know that there's a God who hears when we call on His name? The church was born this way. I'm not against teaching. I think teaching is vital. That's why here we are working and reorganizing even our discipleship class because we believe discipleship is so important. We believe it's important to ground people firmly in God's Word, take new believers and be able to give them a solid foundation so that they won't be flopping around in the breeze with everything out there. But they'll have a solid foundation for life to build on. We think it's very important. Doctrine is very important. However, if all you do is sit and learn and attend this session and attend that session and attend this seminar and that seminar, but we have not taught you as a church to call on the name of the Lord, then we failed in that. Something's not right. God is looking for people who are going to call on His name. Will you call on the name of the Lord? Will you stand with me, please? Believers, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you. That is those of you especially who claim to be followers of Christ. Would God look at your life, at you, and say, there's a person, there's one of those persons who calls on the name of the Lord. I'm not asking if, even if you call yourself a Christian or if you go to church or whatever, but are you one who calls on the name of the Lord? One who beseeches God, who wants to talk with God, one who has seen God bend His ear down to their prayers and answer their prayers. One who rejoices and blesses and praises His name. One who is open and quick to tell others that this is a God who hears. This is a God who answers your prayers. Call on His name. And you testify to that. Is this what God would look down and see? Heaven forbid that we should become like that Pharisee in the temple that knows the right words, that knows the right songs, that knows when to perform, when to not. Let us not be a person who just says prayers out of memory. And we begin to develop pride inside. Our hearts begin to get proud with all the knowledge that we have developed because we've attended every class we can get our hands on, and we listen to every DVD and CD, and we read all the books, and we just keep building our knowledge up. And the whole time God is saying, call on me. Call on my name. Don't just learn about me. I want you to know me. Don't just read about prayer. I want you to spend some time praying to me. Would you be characterized as a person who calls on the name of the Lord? I want to encourage us all together this morning, together as a body, to recommit ourselves to this. I want to be a person who calls on the name of the Lord. And that's going to involve some time. That's going to involve some effort. That's going to involve some purpose. That's going to involve a decision. That's going to involve waking up tomorrow morning and saying, God, today I want to be a person who calls on Your name. I want to start off my day calling on Your name. I want to spend my time and my day with You. When it's time as a body, as a church together to come for some prayer, God, I want to be there because I'm a part of that body. I'm a part of this people, and I want to be a part of a people who calls on the name of the Lord. Not relying on ourselves. I think it's so easy. It's so easy to rely on ourselves. It's going to get done anyway. We can do it ourselves. If you will pray this morning with me, I want you to, in your heart of hearts, to pray and commit this to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me. Father in heaven, maybe in my life, Lord, I have backslid. I have stepped away from being one who just calls on Your name to being one who perhaps goes through the motions too much of the time. I learn about You. I go to church. I read. I do all the motions. But Father, forgive me. Forgive me for not continually calling on Your name, spending my time with You, beseeching You, begging You, pleading with You, and praising You, and giving You glory, and exalting You, and proclaiming how good You are to others. Lord, I want to recommit myself to You right now. I want to be that person that calls upon Your name. And I pray, Lord, in this place, You would send a revival, and that that revival would lead us to be a people who are continually calling on You. Lord, that we would be characterized as the church that calls on the name of the Lord, and that You hear us and that You answer us and You do great and mighty things among us. I commit all these things to You, Lord, in the name of Jesus.